If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merit Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street. And today I get to start off my radio program like I do very few days out of the year. And I say, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. I am too high. Happy birthday to you. Yes, the voice that you hear that opens the radio program today is her birthday. And so we are very happy. We had a birthday last week. We got a birthday today. And so I'm going to have to find some other way to lose weight, because there will be cake. I do believe there will be cake. So I hope you are having a great day. And I pray that the joy of the Lord, I have a way that I pray for people at church. And, you know, I'm not a rigid guy. And so every once in a while I'll come up from behind somebody and I'll grab hold of them and I say, may the blessings of God come up from behind you, overtake you, and bless you in your coming and your going. And I kind of have a reputation that when that happens, they know who it is that's come up from behind them and grabbed them. So today we are going to go back to Isaiah chapter 56. If you have not listened to our program before, you and are interested in some of the things that we have said before, you can always go to the WMIEFM.com webpage, scroll all the way down to the bottom of the page to the Listen on Demand feature, and down there you can click Listen on Demand, and you can type in a date, Monday through Friday, 8:30 of a morning, 10:30 of a morning on WWBC, and back here on WMIE, 5 o'clock of an evening. But anyway, you type in a date, Monday through Friday, and you'll see Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs there. You can click on that. You can download it. You can and listen to it later, or you can listen to it right there. However you choose to listen to it, we want the program to be a blessing to you. And you can listen the hours I told you on the stations that I told you, or you can also download the TuneIn app on your smartphone and type in WMIE there, and you can listen that way. There's a lot of different ways that you can get this program. The website, or through the TuneIn app, you can listen anywhere in the world. You just have to know what the time zone differential is. So in Oklahoma or the central part of the country, that's an hour earlier. So if you wanted to listen to us, it would be at 7:30 there. If you're out in California, it would be 5:30 of a morning or 3 o'clock, or no, 1 o'clock of an afternoon, I think. 2 o'clock. That's what I said, 2 o'clock of an afternoon. You'd be able to listen, 4:32. And, you know, so if you were out there on vacation and said, I just wonder what bad joke Pastor Bob is going to tell today, you can tune in and find out what I have to say. Anyway, today we're going back to Isaiah chapter 56. Yesterday we ended the program talking about how God wants to make his people joyful. That may be a strange concept, but I am here to tell you, God wants you filled with joy. He does. After all, think about it. Your spiritual eternal death sentence has been wiped out, and you have been sentenced by God to everlasting life in his presence. What could be better than that? I'm telling you, winning the lottery pales in comparison to what God wants to do. Don't waste your money on that. The odds of you winning are not good. I believe it was Dave Ramsey said, and I think he was quoting somebody else, that the lottery is a state-sanctioned tax on the poor. So, you know, but I will tell you this. God, and in fact, that winning the lottery has ruined a lot of people's lives because they didn't know how to handle finances before and they didn't know how to handle finances after. You don't put yourself in that position. Learn what God has to say about your finances. Money will not make you filled with joy, but Jesus will. Jesus will make you joyful. So I'm going to go back and read in verse number 6. I'm going to read down through verse number 8, and we're going to see what God has to say about his house, because that's really what we're talking about. And so verse number 6, Isaiah 56, 6, also the sons of the foreigner who join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord to be his servants, everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. The Lord who gathers the outcasts of Israel says, yet I will gather to him others besides those who are gathered to him. So we started off in Matthew chapter 21 and verse number 13, where we were looking at what Jesus said. He rolled into the temple area and he found a lot of displeasing things that were going on. And he said to them, my Father's house, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And so now he's coming and he's saying, this is really what I want my house to be. I want my house to be a place where everybody, Jew and Gentile, are welcome, no matter what background, that you can find a place in the house of God. I want it to be a place where even if society says you don't have anything to offer, that in, God says, in my house, you get to serve as a role model. And I've got an inheritance for you that is never going to be wiped away. And you are going to have a name that is better than anything that the world can give you. Why? Because you choose to please me. If you're going to be in God's house, you've got to make a choice not to please yourself, but to please him. You've got to choose to hold fast, to cling to his covenant, and be a covenant-keeping person just as God is a covenant-keeping God. You've got to say, you know what, God? I'm coming to you. And I'm going to allow you to give me what you want to give me. And I want you to bring me to that place that you want me to be, not me dictating to you where I want you to take me. That's called a cab driver or an Uber driver or a Lyft driver. When we come to the house of God, we say, you're the commander in chief. You are the one who orders my steps and directs my path. You are the shepherd. Lead me where it is I need to go. And then it says here, and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Now, I want to share a couple of things. First of all, it is this, that God's house is to be a house. It is supposed to be a place of divine communication. Okay? It's a place where God and man come together and there's communication between the two. Prayer is not a monologue. If in your prayer time you are not making room for the Holy Spirit to quicken something to your spirit, you're missing out. You're missing out. I was calling some of our church folks. There have been some who, because of health conditions, they have been forced to just watch online. And so I was calling one of them, and they said this. I haven't been there, and you know why, but I've been watching online, and it's good, but I want to tell you something. You're better in person. And it was like, wow, that's a great way That's a great way for, you know, her to express her point. You know what doesn't happen when I'm preaching and there's no one in the congregation? It comes across as a monologue. It just comes across as me communicating. You know what I can't tell whenever I'm communicating via a camera instead of face-to-face? I can't look out at the congregation and see in their eyes whether the truth that I'm sharing has struck its mark or not. And so when I look out there, I'm looking for people who are listening for what God is speaking to them right now. And so if I look out there and they're still and eyes are glassed over, I know that the point hasn't got through yet. So a lot of people treat prayer the same, like a live stream service. Okay, God, I'm here. And this is what's going on in my life. Thank you for making this time for me. And they just go on and they rattle off their monologue and they never get to the place where they wait. As soon as they get done, they say, in Jesus' name, amen. And boom, they're up and they're gone. And God is like, and you know, I picture him, you know, but I could speak to that situation and it could change. You see, we need to hear what God has to say a lot more than what God needs to hear us say what we've got to say. You know why? Because the Bible says that he knows what we have need of before we even ask. God said, I'm going to establish a place where when people come together, that there's going to be communication, there's going to be prayer, where they are communicating with me and I am communicating with them. And so this last weekend, we had the past 2 weekends, we had had a workshop, Praying the Father's Heart. And so that's what it was. You can get a lot of people to come if you want to talk about prayer. It gets a lot harder when you start asking for people to come and pray. And what did God say? He didn't say, my house shall be called a house of preaching. Although preaching is absolutely important, and I believe preaching is essential to the kingdom of God. I think that there are a lot of teachers, and teaching is important, but I also believe that there's preaching that needs to go forth under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I believe that there needs to be God-inspired preaching that takes place. And he, you know, there's something that's got to take place there. So he says, my house should be called a house of prayer where God speaks, and our response is yea and amen. Yea and amen. So I told somebody this one time, 100% of the prayers I never pray never get answered. So at Merit Assembly of God, we look for opportunities to pray. So we're looking for opportunities to talk to God. We're looking for opportunities to hear from God. Now, if I told you that he said, my house shall be called a house of prayer, you would believe it because you've heard that all your life. It's written in the Word of God. I want you to understand that it is not supposed to be something that is melancholy. It is supposed to be something that takes place with joy. My house, and make them, this is in verse number 7, even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. What if we were looking for the joy in the wrong places? Instead of looking for the joy of the Lord to come during games or fellowship, what if we found out that the joy of the Lord strengthened us? It came while we were praying. Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something? It goes on here, and it says this. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. So in God's house, there is also, this is going to drive some people absolutely crazy. They just think that churches are in it for the money. They, if that's the case, I need them to go back and listen to last week's program about 1 Chronicles 29, Wednesday or Thursday of last week. I don't remember which one it was. I think it was Thursday, about how God owns everything. And he gives us the ability, he gives to us and enables us out of his abundance to be able to give to him. That's the reality of giving. So here's what God provides in his house. He provides a place of giving, a place of worship, a place to bring offerings, and a place for sacrifice. Okay? That is something that takes place. In fact, in Malachi, he says you're supposed to bring all the tithe into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house. Okay? You may not know this, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to share this. One of the first things that people do when they get into a bind is they I don't know how they do it anymore because I haven't seen a Yellow Pages in a long time. Is they start, you know, looking for churches, and they start calling churches because they expect to find help at church. One of the first things that I do when people call and ask us to help is this: where do you go to church? And you would be amazed at the number of answers that I hear. It's really, you know, pretty entertaining. What I hear when I ask that question. And if they tell me a pastor that I know, I want to ask them, well, have you talked to your pastor about this? There's a reason why I ask these questions. I'm not looking for a reason not to help people. We do have assistance that we do, but it is with people in the congregation, and it's with people in the congregation absolutely know, like the people that we blessed with a car. When I was blessed with a car, I gave away the vehicle that I was driving. They don't come to our church. But a person in our church knew of this need, and it was a logistical need. It was a legitimate need, and we were able to bless them with that vehicle. They, again, it wasn't inside the church, but somebody knew them, and they said, this is a real need that they have in their life. So the first question that I ask them is, who's your pastor? And then I ask, you know, have you talked to him about it? In all of the times that I've ever asked that question, I've only had one person who told me the name of their pastor. And so I called the pastor and I said, there's these people here and they say that they've got a need. And he would say, yes, that's a legitimate need. And I said, okay. And he said, we're just not in a position to be able to help them at this point in time. And at that point in time, then we see if there's something that we could do. But I want to know, you know, if there's no offerings, if there's no sacrifices, there's not going to be any meat. And then guess what? People are not going to have the resource to turn to. They're only going to have the government. Well, guess what? Government wheels turn very, very slowly. There are a lot of people that, you know, want to say, well, you know what? I think churches should be taxed and all of that sort of stuff. What you don't realize is that the church is the first place that people turn. So when First Baptist Church has their House of Hope food distribution, you know, on Mondays, I'm not sure that, you know, exactly how all that's working right now during the coronavirus situation. But you know what? That's a ministry of the local churches. I know people that are connected with that church, that don't go to that church, but they want to minister to people and see them get saved in that situation. So church is a place where there is prayer, there's joy, and it's also a place where worship takes place. Listen, your tithe, let me rephrase that. Time out, back up, rewind. God's tithe, because the first 10% belongs to Him. You say, well, that's not fair. Well, I challenge you to look on your paycheck and see if the government took their money out of your pay before you got your pay. And chances are very high that they did. And so, you know, you got to have a righteous standard. The first 10% belongs to God. And here's what I have found through the years, that 90% that God blesses me with, it goes further. So there's a speaker that I know, and he said, I was trying to share with this young boy. He came up to me and he said, can you explain to me the principle of tithing? I said, well, he said, when you get $10, you give the first dollar to God, and the other $9 is yours. And the young man got so excited. He said, you mean I get to do what I need to do with 9 out of the $10? And he said, yes. See, most people look at what they're losing instead of what God has blessed them with. So he says that their burnt offerings, their sacrifices would be accepted on the altar. You need to go back and look in Genesis to see whether or not every offering was accepted, because it wasn't. Abel's was accepted. It was by faith Abel offered his sacrifice. And Cain offered some of the produce that he grew. It's whether, what are you going to do by faith? You and I, we are called to live by faith. He says, and my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. So we've talked about it being a house of prayer, and at the house of prayer, there's going to be joy, that there's going to be worship, there's going to be giving, there's going to be sacrifice that is there. That's another word that people don't like to hear. They don't want to talk about sacrifice. Listen, John Maxwell said you have to give up to go up, something along that line. And at some point in time, you are going to sacrifice some things because you realize that life on the other side of the sacrifice is better than clinging to this side of the sacrifice. He says, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. That word means all people groups. All people groups. And so I want to ask you, do our churches really look like God's house the way that He wants it to look like? I know that a lot of people say it's the most segregated hour of the week, and it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. You say, well, could you be part of a church where you weren't the preacher? Have been. Could you be part of a church where you were in the minority? Love it. Love it. In fact, I know people who pastor churches that they are the minority representation in that church. I've got some friends that I know. I could sit under their ministry without hesitation. Now, I'll tell you, there are some churches that I wouldn't feel comfortable in. But it has nothing to do with the fact that it is not somebody who looks like me. It's, you know, I wouldn't be comfortable where somebody was not preaching the word of God the way that it has been revealed in my heart. There are churches where there are Caucasian pastors that I wouldn't feel comfortable in, and there are some churches that I just say, you know what? I need to find a place where I'm going to serve well. Now, it ends here in verse number 8 with this. The Lord God who gathers the outcast of Israel says, yet I will gather to him others besides those who are gathered to him. The house of God also needs to look like a place where there are people who are in all stages of spiritual development. So there need to be young people, and there need to be people who are getting saved. Okay? So here's the thing. If there's not anybody getting saved at your church, you know what you need to do? Increase two things. Increase the prayer so that you hear what God is saying, and increase the evangelism where you take what you're hearing out into the community and tell them what God has spoken. Be a blessing. Be a blessing. And here's the thing. God's got people that he's going to bring in that are going to be solutions to your problems. They may not look, and you're going to be solutions to their problems. You're going to find that there is great unity at the foot of the cross, where everybody's sins are covered by the blood of the Lamb. You and I, we cannot rest on our laurels when there are people entering eternity without Jesus. The Pharisees had the mindset, look, we don't want you, and so they excluded them. And we don't want you, we exclude them. And then they would look at Jesus and say, well, we don't want him because he's talking to those people that we have set aside, that they're not good enough to be part of the church. Listen, I believe that the church, I had a pastor, he put it this way. What this church needs is a few good sinners. What this church needs is a few good sinners. And what we mean by that is not people who refuse to change, but some people who are getting saved. It is great for a church when they see people getting saved and transformed by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's house looks like a very diverse place, and a place where there is honor, where there is blessing, where there's covenant. I pray that you will find your place in the house of God. We'd love to see you at Merit Assembly of God. See you next time, right here on
Thank Refresh. You for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Sing to be a man for my king. Nothing, Lord, is hindering the passion.